with the leading of the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of our morning message, I would like to turn and read out of the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, and seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew or Greek, nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey all in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that in of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer. This morning, as we heard the message, I don't know about you, but I know that the Lord spoke to me. And you know, I believe that we come to church and we come for a reason, and that is to hear God's word. You know, I believe we heard it plain and clear this morning. And whether we was admonished, chastened, corrected, or whatever it may have been, it's according to God's will. I'm reminded of what is written in the book of Hebrews, where he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if we be without chastisement, wherefore are all bastards then, wherefore are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And so when we become chastised by the Lord, we believe that it was from the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Lord has directed this passage this afternoon, where he says that if we be risen with Christ, he's talking to believers, if we be risen with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And that's why we come to church, seeking those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So he's reminding to the believers here in Colossae, if you're risen with Christ, this is where you should set your affections. That doesn't mean just Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, and then when you come to sing Sunday night. But that means every day of our lives. When James wrote about the tongue, he was writing to believers, I believe, also. And when he talks about how we ought to control it, if you will, as the best that we can, then he had believed that we as individuals have that control. That's if we've got our affections set on things above and not on the earth. And probably the only time that our mouth runs off the way it ought not to is because of our own will, our own desires, and we have not been led by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we have not set our affections on things above. And so when he writes here to Colossae, he says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to put to death. Those things that would cause us to sin. And he enumerates some of them here in this verse, which I believe also includes our controlling of our own tongue as well. Because he even says up here, but now you also have put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. That's your tongue. That's, in other words, watch your mouth. Watch what you say. And this is what I believe the Lord has brought to us today. You see, he knows what we do. He knows what we have done. He knows what we have said. And whether it's today, yesterday, last week, or who knows when, he still knows. And so he knows what we need. And I believe he knew we needed what we heard this morning. And so we should be encouraged that God would be so loving, so caring for us, that he would chastise us because we are his sons and daughters. And we should be thankful for that. And so as he goes on to talk here, he says, you put off all these things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God come upon the children of Israel. So you see, when we can become, if we don't mortify the deeds of our flesh, we can become involved into these very same things that we once did, because he says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of obedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. So he's reminding us here, there was a time when we did live in these things. There was a time when we didn't watch our mouth. There was a time when our tongue went off and it said things that should have never been said. But he says, we have put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And I believe this is the key to it here. Seeing that you have put off the old man is the key to this. You know, when we become converted, and we read in the book of Romans where Apostle Paul wrote to them and he said, you become dead to sin. And then he talks in that same chapter about the sins that sometimes we so get into. And who do we yield our members to? Is it unrighteousness or is it to righteousness? And so when it's unrighteousness, then we need to mortify the deeds of our flesh. And that's what the apostle writes in Romans. And so when we become converted, we have become dead to sin and we have put off the old man. Now, I remember when I was converted, I often wondered, how am I ever going to put off this old life? It was not good. And many times Satan used this against me because he said, there's no way you're going to live that kind of life. You know who you are. You know how you are. You know how you talk. You know how you live. And so he's used it against me, and I believed him. I wondered, how am I ever going to be? How could I ever get rid of this, some of these bad habits that I had? And so finally, when I learned to put my trust in the Lord, quit trying to do it myself, is when I finally yielded myself to the leading of the Spirit and asked God to remove these from my life. And truly, he did that. Never to desire them again. I didn't do it. God did it for me. And that's what we need to do. In order for us to mortify the deeds of our flesh, put it into the hands of Jesus Christ. Call upon him and ask him to help you do these things, to get rid of those deeds and those things that you did and you're not proud of, you're ashamed of. And we all had them at times past, like he says here. And so we learn to put off these things by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Only by God's grace can we do this. And so the only way we can do it is, the Bible teaches us to ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So when we ask God for these things, we ask him to relieve us of this, remove these from our lives. He's the one that can put this away for us. And no matter how much sometimes we try ourselves, we fail. But if we leave it to the Lord and we put our trust in him, he will do it for us. But that takes a complete yielding, surrendering our will to his. And that's exactly what he's saying here that we must do. And then he says, and don't just leave it there. Okay, we put all these off, now what? Here's why. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So you see, we begin to think different. Renew our knowledge. Come to the truth. Understand what it means. Apply it to our lives. And this becomes, we become renewed by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by yielding and putting our trust in the Lord. That's the way we overcome. That's the way we put on this new man. By ourselves, we cannot do that. We must trust God, trust the Lord to do this for us, and He will. He will do that. And so as he goes on to say, there's neither Jew or Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, not bond or free, Christ is all in all. So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. These things, then, we put on. How do we put these on? It's simple. You renew your mind. You read God's word. You understand what He expects of you. You read, like in Colossians here, what we're supposed to do. If you don't know what this understands, go to 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12, and it explains all the things that we're given to help us do these things, overcome these things. And so, in other words, read your Bible, understand what it says, learn from it, and God will guide and direct your life. If you're willing and you will surrender your will to His. That's what we got to do. And this is what he's talking about. This is what we do when we put on these things as elect of God. Now remember, he's talking to believers. He's talking to you and I, brother and sister. And he's telling us how these things should be. Okay, put on all these holy, beloved bowels of mercy and so forth. That's renewing your mind. That's being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way that these things can take place, is be led by the Holy Spirit to guide you and to direct your life. But if you're not willing to yield to that, if you're not willing to be given over to the, and solely given over to God, your will to His, it's not going to happen. And so this is how we do this. We put on all these very things that he's talking about. And we can do that. You know how you do it? You tell yourself, I'm not doing this. I'm not. You learned, maybe you had a problem with anger or wrath or malice. Simply, don't do it no more. You know what they say, how the best way to break a habit? Drop it. Drop it and you'll break it. That's it. You got a habit of being angry? Drop it. You'll break the habit. Only by God's grace. And so that's what he's saying here, to put on and to take off. This is our life. Brothers and sisters, this is the way we're to live. Just like we heard this morning, how we should, the things that we say, sometimes we can hurt people just by simply some of our words. Don't let this filthy communications come out of your mouth, he says. Put it off. And only you can control that. I can't control it for you, and you can't control it for me. Only God, by his grace, can control this. But we got to be yielded to his leading and his direction. And that's what this chapter here is all about. As he says, above all things. And he reminds us here, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And there may be some things that have happened to you or to me. And we somewhat have it didn't go very good. You didn't like it. You didn't appreciate what that person said to you. Okay. If he's offended you, Matthew 18 says you go to him to gain your brother. You say what happened? If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't hear you, you get two or three witnesses. If he doesn't want to hear the two or three witnesses, you go to the church. If he doesn't want to hear the church, he's to be looked at and used as a publican and a sinner. A publican and a sinner. In other words, no longer a faithful brother or sister. Because you failed to listen, you failed to yield to God's leading. You would not hear what the Spirit says. And as a wrong has been done, and don't admit it, this is what becomes of. So you see, these kinds of things are sound doctrine. And what we're reading here is sound doctrine. Putting on bowels of mercy. And all of these that he's got written here for us. That's good, sound doctrine. That's good Christian living. And this is how we speak sometimes, by the way we live and by the way we act. If you treat someone with anything but mercy, anything with grace, anything with kindheartedness, that reflects on your life as you're a Christian. You claim to be a follower of Christ, and you talk like this, you act like this. No, it don't work. It's just simply, it's like mixing water and oil. It don't mix. I don't know if you ever tried that, but it does not mix. The water settles to the bottom, the oil floats to the top, and that's it. You cannot mix them. That's the same way with this. It don't work. So you see, what he's saying to us here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's done. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And notice it says, whatsoever you do, not just in deed, but in word and deed, comes right back to James 3. Watch your mouth. Watch your tongue. Control your tongue. It's an evil, evil thing. And it can put your life in sad jeopardy because you did not control your tongue. So dearly beloved, let us realize what the Scriptures is trying to tell us here, that in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father of all. So you see, when we live our lives and the things that we say and do, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it as unto him. These things that we're to put off will no longer be there because we have served the Lord. We've focused, set our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. And so he goes on to enter some home duties here. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I believe that we can take that, children, as obey your parents. We that are God's children need to obey our Heavenly Father also, which is pleasing in his sight. When we are obedient to his word, when we have put off all these things and put on all the new, that's pleasing in the sight of God. That's obeying. And this is what children need to do with their parents. You have to love them, respect them, and show that you do that. Not always does that happen, especially when you become maybe 13, 14, 15 years old. I can remember when I was about 17, 18, I thought I was such a big shot. I thought my mom didn't know anything. I thought she was the dumbest thing I ever saw because I didn't want to agree with everything she said. And so I had no use for what my mom told me to do. But when I become a little older, and maybe in my 20s, I realized, oh, my mom was pretty smart. And then when I became married and had some of my own children, I found out she was smart. And she knew exactly what she was doing. Thanks be to God that she trained me the way she did. And the only way she could have done that was by the leading of the Holy Spirit in her life. And so this is why he says here, children, obey your parents. You may not agree with her. You may not understand it. You may not be what you want to do. But you better obey. Because you see, your parents have been through things that you haven't yet. And see, they know people that have been, and it was not a good turnout. So you see, parents try to keep their children from getting into these kinds of things, getting into the sins that they have no business getting into. But you see, when you become a certain age, you think you know it all. You think you can do what you want to do, and before you know it, you find yourself sinning the way you shouldn't even. And like the one song goes, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will take you farther than you'll ever know. And that is so true. That is so true. That's why it's so important. Young people, obey your parents. And so we can't dwell on that enough. But then it also says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. And you see, fathers, that can happen. And I think we have a fine line there where we need to be careful that we don't hammer on something, drive something, and keep nagging at something and provoking our children. And then the next thing you know, they don't even want to come to church. They don't want nothing to do with that kind of a life. That can happen. And so it's a direct parent duty, if you will. As he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And then he talks about servants. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Anybody that ever had a job had a master. Everybody that has a job has a boss. Even if you're self-employed, you still have a boss. If you have, even if you're self-employed and you get jobs from somebody and this is what they want, that's your boss. And you better be doing what they want or you ain't going to get paid. And that's the same way with a job. When they tell you something to do, you better be, and this is what the scripture's saying here. Why? Because he says, not to do it as men pleasers, eye service, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so when you get this straightened out in your mind, and what your job is and what you're supposed to do, the way you're supposed to live your life, if you do it according to, and you're doing it as unto the Lord and not to men, you will realize that this is pleasing in the sight of God. This is what servants, as he calls us here, needs to do. And every one of us know well what that is if you've ever had a job in any place. If you've ever been employed, you'll know exactly what he's talking about here. And so, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So you see, a reward, if you will. There's a reward for living these things that we're to put on and take off. There's a reason for that. Not that it's going to get us to heaven, because if it was going to get us to heaven, then we would be getting to heaven by our works. The Bible makes that very clear. You're not going to heaven by your works. Only by the grace of God will any of us ever get to heaven, not by our works. Nevertheless, we are taught throughout the scriptures to live this godly life and to serve Him and to do what is right. It's for our good, it's for our reward. If you look into the Revelations and it talks about when the books are going to be open and the book of life is open, you know how we're going to be judged? By Jesus Christ. by the things that we have done or what we have not done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That's what we're going to be judged by. Not what your mom did, your dad, anybody else. It's what you done. It's what I done. This is where our reward is going to come in. And we got to understand that. It's not because we do all these things and now we're going to go to heaven. That's works. We're doing these things to honor God, to live the godly life, so that men will see the light. And like Christ said, this is your light, set it on the hill so people can see it. Live your life as the light of Jesus Christ so men can see it. Why? They can glorify our Heavenly Father. It's the only reason. The only reason that men might see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. That's why we do what we do. That's doing it heartily as unto the Lord. That's what it says here. And as he says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. You see, when we stand before the Lord and we are judged in that last day, what we have done, what we haven't done, whether it's good or whether it's bad, there's no respect of persons. Not going to say, oh, well, I know you was a good soul. You went to church all the time and you listened, you obeyed your parents. No, there's going to be no respect of persons. He's not going to say, well, okay, I see here you did this and that's, and that's, and that's not too good, but that's okay. We're going to be judged by our works accordingly. And that's how we're going to receive our reward. So dearly beloved, we look into the scriptures, we learn, we understand, we know what God's will is for our lives. It's up to us. Yield to the leading of the Spirit and be led of Him, and we will never go wrong. Amen.
For us to have been in the house of the Lord today, surely we felt the Spirit speaking to our hearts. This chapter, as Brother Bob mentioned, is a beautiful chapter that speaks to our life of faith and love for the Lord, just as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and Romans 12 speak to this. So we were given the instruction of what we are to put off and what we are to put on. That which we are to put off is anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth, and lies. That's what we are to put off. But not to just simply put that off and leave it at that, but to put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and above all, charity. These are the things that we are to put on. And then the Bible says here in this chapter that we ought to do these things heartily as unto the Lord. So as the Spirit has spoken to us in this day, that we would heartily put off these things that defile us and heartily put on those things that enrich our lives and letting that peace of God dwell in our hearts and rule within our hearts. So in the coming days, we will have experiences. There will be things happening to us, and we will respond to them. We need to measure, have we put off those things that defile us? And have we put on those things that enrich our lives? And if we find that we've failed because an incident happened to us that wasn't favorable for us and we felt that anger starting to build, let's take that moment right there and pray. Pray that God would grant unto us that He would change our heart and that we would put on, above all things, charity, and that we would have that forbearance and forgiveness. God's power can do that when we reach out to Him and when we ask Him for help in our time of need. So let's reach out to the Lord. Let's thank Him for the messages that He has given unto us in this day. And may we walk in His Spirit. Amen.